Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen. I'm the president and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit organizations all across the country to translate your vision into reality. I want to welcome everybody back to the podcast. We have another exciting episode here today, and I'm thrilled to be joined by a guest, Claire Crum. Claire is the CEO of an organization called Calm Ops, and our topic today is we're going to be talking about something we call strategic mapping. So for those of you who have listened to the podcast or followed along with my work, you know that I talk an awful lot about strategic planning and the importance of strategic planning for nonprofit organizations. We're going to take it one step down today and talk about strategic mapping. So how do you take that strategic plan and turn it into actionable tasks and items for your team to dive into? Claire, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Greg. I'm excited to be here.
Claire, I'm thrilled that you're joining us. Tell us a little bit about your background, your work, before we dive into the topic.
Absolutely. So I'm in Kansas City, and 15 plus years ago, I was in the nonprofit sector. That's always been where my passion has been, is service in the community. And I did a myriad of things like one does in the nonprofit sector, primarily volunteer management, event planning, a lot of general cat herding, as many of your listeners can probably relate to. And over the years, that work has really brought me to where I am today with Calm Ops Operations Consulting Agency. We work with the organizations that we work with in order to optimize their operations so that they're be able to do more, make a bigger impact with resources that they already have. And one of the ways that we do that is through this strategic mapping process.
Claire, those who listen to the podcast are familiar with me talking about strategic planning. I do a lot of strategic planning as a consultant. Obviously, I'm a huge proponent of nonprofit organizations having an actionable strategic plan in place. And so people are familiar with that terminology of strategic plan. Define for us, if you will, what do you mean by strategic mapping? What does that term refer to and mean to you in your work?
Absolutely. So, you know, once you are doing a strategic mapping process or strategic planning, where you're at is really that 30,000 foot view. Where is the organization going? What are the big rocks, so to speak, that we want to accomplish as an organization? And so the work that we do, it brings it into action. So how do we go from where we're at right now to that end point that we have set for ourselves as a goal? We call that a mapping process because, very similarly to strategic planning, it's very targeted in a way that needs to be planned out. We start with mission, vision, and values. And that is something that most all of the organizations that I work with have in place to one degree or another. Sometimes they need to be firmed up a little bit, but it's important to have those pieces and start there because that's really our compass rose. So again, with the mapping, right? But we want to make sure that all of the actions that we are taking are putting us on a path towards success in reaching the milestones that we have set for the organization.
Claire, one of the things that I love the most about your work, and particularly this concept of strategic mapping, is that it's directly related to implementation. I think as a consultant, as someone who has worked with a lot of nonprofit organizations, I know that the place where strategic plans tend to fail is usually on day one after the board approves them, right? we have our strategic plan, we can exhale, we've put the time and the effort into doing that right. Now what, right? Implementation. And a good strategic plan certainly sets an organization on a path towards implementation and talks about those initial action steps. But talk to us a little bit about how your strategic mapping process takes that to the next level and really partners with organizations in that implementation and operationalizing the plan.
Sure. Well, I think what it's important to remember is that the strategic plan are, again, it's that 30,000 foot view, right? If we could have every day look like the perfect day, we all feel at peak energy. We don't have any fires that we have to put out. We have all of the resources in place to make everything successful just the way we envision it. Then strategic planning is pretty easy, right? We have the plan, we just work the plan. But in reality, what happens is there's other factors at play in the day-to-day of an organization. They have to run operations. And so what we aim to do is merge those two mindsets and really be intentional, because we want to make sure that the actions that we're taking are so focused and targeted that the success is inevitable with regard to the strategic plan. But in order to do that, we have to take into consideration all of the other elements and things that go on within the organization.
I think it's also important and talk a little bit about capacity. And organizations come in different shapes and sizes. And my organization's capacity to act on one of our strategic goals is going to be very different than another organization's capacity to act on their goals. How do you measure and balance your efforts in operations and kind of scale that to organizations of different shapes and sizes?
Right. So that is a lot of talking with the resources and the manpower that you have within your organization. You have to have a solid understanding of what you're starting with. To know what the beginning point is helps us to chart a path towards the end point that is sustainable, right? If you don't have the capacity to take on certain pieces, then the next question is, how do we accomplish it, right? Within the resources that we already have. And what that might look like is being intentional to say, we need to increase our capacity in one way or another. We need to bring on new staff to take on this project. Or maybe it looks like we need to refine our operations processes, bring in some more automation so that we can be more efficient in the work that we do in order to build capacity to reach these milestones. But again, the key word here is working intentionally, taking a look at the full picture so that we can make sure that the actions that we take are targeted toward success.
And I like the term strategic mapping because it links to an organization's either existing or just completed strategic plan, right? In an ideal world, those two are complements to one another. As you said, one's at the 30,000 foot level, one is a little bit, one step down at maybe the 15,000 or 10,000 foot level. So talk to me a little bit about how you see that handoff taking place. So if you have an organization that has just gone through a thoughtful, intentional, effective strategic planning process, what is the role of strategic mapping, or how can you come in and partner with them in that operationalizing process?
What we like to do is think about it as a funnel. So we start up at the top. What are the big objectives that we have? We get a really great understanding of where we're at right now so that we know what resources we can commit in what areas. And then we start to break it into pieces and say, okay, if this is a 3-year plan, what needs to happen in year one in order to make year two and year three successful as well? What are the have-tos? Where's the flexibility at? And then we can break it down even further and say, okay, of those pieces, what do we need to do this quarter? What are the non-negotiables? What are the things that we might have to put off if we have to put off? And work it backwards that way to the point where we know what emails we have to write next week. Right. And to have things set at that granular of a level then really allows us to plan around that. And we can say, okay, well, these are the tasks that are on, you know, whoever's list for the week even. And we know that those have to be accomplished if we're going to set out to do what it is that we have said we're wanting to accomplish. And so what does that mean in the rest of my day that I need? How do I account for that? Right. And so we're doing that all along the way, kind of merging what is on my plate right now and where is it that I'm trying to go and how can I fit those things together? You know, and as a mom, this is something that I'm not unfamiliar with doing in life. Right. You have to find ways to balance things. And I think the way that we do that is really just getting crystal clear on exactly what it is that needs to be done. What is the plan?
And I think having that really intentional relationship with your client and understanding what resources they have and what can they realistically acquire, get their hands on in terms of resources, is so helpful. What I love about what you're saying, though, is the importance of balance. I think sometimes the challenge in strategic planning, and we all experience it, is that we're at that 30,000 foot level. And so we're talking about year one, year two, and year three. But within year one, are we talking about at a granular level, how do we balance those tasks so that quarter, you know, the first quarter of the year, we're not pulling our hair out. In the second quarter, we have nothing. And how do we, you know, distribute the labor, distribute the work of the plan so that it's effective and efficient and not driving anyone from our organization?
Exactly. Exactly.
So when you're, you know, one of the things that I talk to organizations about a lot is keeping their strategic plan a living, breathing document. And I think that's another benefit of the mapping process. I'm often asked about tracking and dashboards and how do we report on our strategic plan? How do we report on our progress in our action steps, operationalizing the plan? I'm curious what you recommend or how you talk to clients and advise them in terms of keeping their action plans alive and keeping people informed and up to date on those.
That is so important. I'm so glad to hear that you talk about that too. because you're right. We can't just shelve these things, or it's all too easy to just get into the doing and not really be doing the work that is what needs to be done to hit our goals. And so we recommend that this process be done on a quarterly basis. And so oftentimes within organizations, this isn't necessarily a full board kind of process that we have to go to. It kind of depends on the structure of the organization. But because this is the day-to-day implementation and how things are happening, oftentimes this is leadership staff that takes on this role. And like I said, looking at it on a quarterly basis so that we can evaluate, okay, how did we do in the last quarter? Were we able to meet our goals? How does that shift what we might want to be working on for the next quarter? So you're always paying really close attention to where everything is at. And it's not so much about, you know, oh, we failed. We didn't get it done right. You know, that's not a bad thing. It just helps us to refine even further what our capacities are so that we can move forward in an even more effective way, right? We always learn by looking backwards a little bit. When it comes to metrics and things like that, certainly we talk about KPIs. And I think that the important thing to remember there is to measure things that are meaningful to your work. Oftentimes we can, especially if you're a little bit geeky like I am, it can be easy to want to put a metric on absolutely everything. But then that again is getting a little bit overwhelming, and maybe you're putting work and effort into something that could, you know, effort could be other places. And so I think it's important to make sure that the things that you want to try and track are things that are pointing you again, very precisely to those objectives that you said you are meeting. So is what you're tracking helping you know if you are being successful to that end? If not, and it's kind of just something to keep in, you know, it's a vanity metric, so to speak, then don't waste time with it.
I think you're absolutely right. And it's, I always tell organizations that their dashboard is not a report card, right? This is not a reflection of you as a leader or you as a manager. Really, it's a snapshot at that point in time of how accurate were we in our strategic plan in terms of our best guesses of how this goal was going to lay out? What has gone well? What challenges are we encountering right now? And it becomes a leadership and a coaching and a management tool to say, what have we accomplished? What are we bumping up against where we could use some help from board or fellow staff members? And what has just, the world has changed. And this is just not unfolding the way we thought it would. So I like that concept of authenticity and honesty with yourself as an organization of what's going well and where do we need to course correct.
Right. I think that we're naive to think that everything is going to go smoothly right off the bat, right? It's about hoping for the best and planning for the worst. And if we can, again, be really intentional with how we set our plans of action, that helps us to move forward with effectiveness, but also be able to course correct in a very strategic and effective way when we need to make those pivots.
It's interesting you say that. I mentioned that as part of all of my strategic planning retreats, is that what we're doing in strategic planning is really creating a roadmap, a guide, guardrails for us as an organization based on our best understanding of the landscape that as it exists today. But what do we all know? We all know that the day after a strategic plan is approved, the world is going to change and there's nothing we can do about that. And so we hope that our best guesses during that planning process come to fruition, but we know that we're going to have to make adjustments along the way. And so I like that concept of a dashboard that allows organizations to reflect on what's going well and where they can course correct.
Yes. And I would say too, that because with a strategic plan, you're looking a little bit farther out. It's hard. You're absolutely right. We're making our best guesses here, but we can't tell the future. And I think without taking the time to bring things into the now and to say, this is what we can be working on right now, it's a missed opportunity, because otherwise things feel really big and really insurmountable, right? But when we can start to break things down into really actionable steps, that's when we can start moving forward and seeing the success and the progress that we want to see as it relates to our objectives.
Claire, so for those listening right now, everything that we've talked about so far sounds like in an ideal world, right? In an ideal world, we're starting with a thoughtful, intentional strategic planning process, and then we're marrying it with a thoughtful, intentional strategic mapping progress. If, for example, there are nonprofit leaders listening to the podcast today, and they are thinking, oh gosh, I'm in the middle of a strategic plan that's not working for me, or our strategic plan has expired, or we did a strategic plan, but we have gotten way off track in terms of operationalizing it and mapping out those processes. What do you recommend for organizations to get back on track? So for those leaders who maybe aren't at point A right now, but are sitting at a different place in their organization's trajectory, how can strategic mapping help them to get back to a healthier place?
You know, I think you're always at point A to a degree, right? You're always at a place where you have decisions that you can make to pivot if necessary. And so to say, this is where I'm at right now, is totally fine. If there's things in the background that have happened in the past that you need to take into consideration for context, that's just fine. And then you're making decisions in the right now based on all of this contextual information that you have as to how it is that you need to move forward. And so it's always okay to pivot. And what a strategic plan and also strategic mapping helps one do is to have all of that clarifying information so that you can make effective decisions as you're moving forward when you need to pivot.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's exciting to me. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a nonprofit organization a couple of weeks ago. And they had a 3-year strategic plan in place. They are about a year to a year and a half into that strategic plan and have realized that it's just not working for them. And the nonprofit leader reached out to me to have a conversation, and their first thought was, well, we just have to ride it out for the next 2 years through this plan, and then we'll come up with a new one. And in reality, it's what I call strategic plan repair, right? There's no need to throw all of that good work that was done before out. But what you're talking about is take a fresh look based on the information you have in the moment, and then be able to course correct, repair the strategic plan, repair your action plan or your implementation plan. So I'm drawn to that concept of it's not hopeless. There's always an opportunity to course correct based on where you are.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, for many organizations that you need an end point, right? And how do you know where it is you're going if what you're doing right now isn't working? And I think that's when we go back to the mission and vision and values for the organization to really measure against that and say, okay, well, are these objectives, do they still fit what it is that we're trying to do here? Or can we see now that maybe our mission has shifted a little bit, right? Or maybe there's other organizations that have come in and there's different opportunities that we have. Again, if we have that to measure against, that really helps in the planning because you do have that compass that you can reference along the way.
It's exactly, you know, it's similar to what I talk to organizations about in strategic planning. So the system that I use in strategic planning is called Finding Your North Star, right? And as part of, developed by Gary Romano, Civitas Strategies, I use it with all of my strategic planning clients. As part of that process, there's always a place that we talk about leaving room in the strategic plan for what we call emergent strategy. Things that as we sit in the room that day, we don't necessarily have enough information to build a whole strategy around, but we see where the landscape is heading and we want the plan to be big enough and broad enough and have enough room to breathe for the organization to be able to act on opportunities as they present themselves during the next 2 to 3 years.
That's so important. I think of that as margin, right?
Yes.
You need a little bit of space to just be able to move around. And that's important at the granular level too, because again, you may have a fire that crops up during the week and, you know, things kind of fall apart. And what can happen oftentimes is, you know, nonprofit leaders are so often visionary folks. You know, you're starting this out of a place of passion, which is amazing, and you can get things really far. But sometimes you have all of those big ideas and big aspirations for your organization, but you're taking really big bites, right? And what we need to do is be a little bit more mindful, maybe a little bit more conservative about what we think we want to try and tackle this year, this quarter, this month, because we can always put more on the plate, right?
Absolutely.
We can always say, we accomplished all of those things. Look at us go. We are chugging right along. Let's do some more stuff, right? Rather than putting too much on our plate at one time and then feeling like we've failed because, you know, we were pushing too hard or everybody got burnt out because, you know, to hit that goal. And so I think it's important, again, about that balance to make sure that we're leaving space for life to happen.
I think that's one of it goes back to one of the most important terms. You used it earlier, intentionality. I think that is one of the most important terms in any type of nonprofit leadership, whether we're working with our staff, whether we're building our board, whether we're designing programs, that level of intentionality is so critical. Claire, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast today. For those who are listening who may want more information about strategic mapping or may want to get in touch with you directly, what is the best way that folks can reach out to you?
You can find me on our website, ClaireCrum.com.
That's Claire from Calm Ops. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us. For those who are listening to the podcast, thank you for helping us grow this community. If you're enjoying the podcast, I encourage you to share it with your friends, your coworkers, your colleagues, other nonprofit leaders and board members. We want to grow this community as big and as inclusively as possible. Leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform and tune in for our upcoming episodes as well. Thank you. Stay safe and stay well.